This is your moment, your time to shine, your comeback. You're ready for the next step in your career, and you want an education employers respect. So you're not just going back to school. You're coming back with Purdue Global. Backed by Purdue University, one of the nation's most respected public universities, Purdue Global is built for people who bring their life experience into the online classroom. Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
You deserve a moment to yourself every single day. And a delicious bite of a Keebler Sandies can give you that comforting pause. Celebrate the end of your workday with the melt-in-your-mouth magic of a Keebler Sandies. This magic is baked into simple shortbread cookies by Ernie and the Keebler Elves. So as another busy month flies by, make the most of your me moment. Take a pause and enjoy a Keebler Sandies.
Hi, I'm Vanessa Bayer, and this is my brother, Jonah.
We're two siblings who love to talk about our childhood and nostalgia and how it shaped us into the people we are today.
Who know we're going to have a great time with today's guest, and that's not a gamble.
Welcome to How Did We Get Weird?
Jonah, so you were saying earlier today that you're experiencing the first snow of the year where you live.
Yep, we got some snow up here in the Northeast. We haven't gotten it. Usually we get it way earlier. I was driving home from work the other day and it was slow goings. It was, yeah, driving in the snow, not fun.
Not fun. I have a question because I live in LA where it doesn't really snow. So I'm curious, you know, when we were kids, the first snow of the year was quite exciting. And
yeah.
I feel like maybe as an adult, I'm just curious, how would you say those two things differ?
It's not as exciting as an adult. Like, like most things, I'm thinking about driving. I'm thinking about my heating bill. I'm thinking about, you know, it's not as exciting. I mean, it's nice because it's, you know, hopefully it means the planet isn't completely melting.
Right.
So it's good that it's still happening, but it is, yeah, it definitely doesn't have the same novelty of wanting to go sledding, wanting to do fun stuff in the snow.
Yeah.
It's more of like, okay, I got to shovel this stuff. Where's the shovel? My back's going to be sore. It's
right.
A lot more adult stuff.
Right.
So you're not really missing out that much.
Yeah. I mean, I feel like the thing that I would get the most excited to do when it would start to snow was make a snow angel. And now the idea of like doing that, I'm like, no way, Jose. I don't want to lie down in the snow. That sucks.
Right. Then you got to do the laundry. Then your clothes are all wet.
I feel like when we were kids, because we were from Cleveland and it was so cold there, we had like snow pants and stuff and snow and that stuff. You got to lie down in that stuff. It gets all wet. And you're like, check, please. No, thank you.
Well, I'm curious to see how our today's guest
I am too
feels about this whole snow based on, you know, where he lives. So let's get into it. Our guest today is a musician, actor, and comedian. You might know as the lead singer for Dracula's, High Tension Wires, and one of my favorite bands, Riverboat Gamblers. Let's give a warm How Did We Get Weird welcome to Mike Wiebe. Mike, what is up?
Hey, what is up, guys? In Texas, I grew up in North Texas, Denton, Texas, and I live in Austin, Texas now, and it snows maybe like once a year. So it was all, and honestly, it continues to be a little bit exciting, except for Texas is, it politically is a little bit of a wackadoodle place sometimes. And they're like, there's like a, I don't know the ins and outs, but they're like not on a power grid that like is regulated.
Right.
So like 2 years ago in Austin, it snowed and iced really bad. And all the power went out in the entire, almost in the entire city. I live really close to the airport because I've made it. And and like, but so the power stayed on, you know? which was great for me. So I had like people kind of trudging their way over just to get warm. But there was like no power for in this sub, you know, freezing temperatures for like 4 days or something like that. So that was my first taste of like, oh, snow can be bad and not fun. Because to me, it's always this rare, special treat that like, what is this stuff? It's yeah. still magical
right,
to me.
Right, right. You should have gone to Cancun with Ted Cruz. Am I right?
I know. Yeah.
Oh, that's right. I remember that was so funny. God. Ted Cruz sucks so bad.
He's the worst. The weasel.
So it's kind of still a novelty to you.
Yeah.
So how's it, yeah. I guess, like, how has it changed since growing up? Like, was this like a huge deal as a kid growing up in Texas, the one day it would snow?
It's the best because if we get a couple of flurries, they close down the entire city. So so I remember in the winters when I was in like grade school and probably all the way up to high school, but even like as a young kid in grade school, excitedly watching the weather every night during the winter, praying that there was going to be snow so we could get out of going to school, because I hated going to school at a very young age. And and it was always it's just so magical to like open up the window and see that there was a full bed of snow and know that you were not going to have to go to school. It was just the best.
The dream. It's so funny because as a kid, you're like, kind of, Jonah, you were touching on this. You don't have to shovel I guess once in a while you do have to shovel the driveway, but you don't really have to drive in the snow because you can't drive yet. You don't have to really deal with stuff with your house getting like messed up by the snow. All you do is like look at how pretty it is and get to play in it. It's funny because I was just thinking, in California, people will drive to the mountains to get snow. And it's like, I'd like to stay here where there's no snow.
Right.
Meaning in LA. Okay, let's move on. But the point is, like, I'm just saying, snow is such a novelty if you're a kid or if you're in a place, I guess, that doesn't get it a lot. Jonah, do you remember when we visited our cousins in Northern California and it snowed there and they absolutely lost their minds?
Yeah, I do remember that. That was, what I remember most is eating a bunch of rainbow sherbet and then throwing up.
Was that at that time?
I think it was the same trip. We were in some kind of vehicle with a lot of people and I was sitting backwards, like toward, you know how like a lot of cars in the 80s would have the seats that face out the back, which I don't think was like working for me, especially after eating a bunch of rainbow sherbet.
Was it vomit in perfect rainbow colors too?
That's actually
red,
so
yellow,
interesting.
Green, blue.
I thought maybe it would be at the time.
Yeah.
Turns out, no. Turns out like, no, just looks regular.
That's disappointing.
But you know what else? This is going to not be as fun, but the thing I remember probably from that trip too was, do you remember? Well, I don't know if either of you would remember these Freeman's like face masks and all this like Bath and Body stuff that had all these colors on the packages. And we would experiment with all of them in Ukiah when we would visit our cousins. But also rainbow colored, but not something you would ingest and then throw up. So
you could, I bet. I bet you would throw up if you
did
ingest
it. I bet you would throw it up.
Good point.
You know what?
Very
really good point,
Mike.
I bet you would throw it up. But wow, we had a lot of fun when we would go to Ukiah.
So Mike, so you grew up in Texas, you'd have the snow days. And then like, what was your kind of vibe like in high school? Because obviously you're like very kind of like a performative person. Were you like that in high school or were you more kind of quiet or what were you sort of like?
I think I was pretty performative. I was in theater and did theater stuff all the time.
Were
and,
there any productions you want to kind of shout out that you did?
Oh, yeah. I mean, people already know them. So I feel like it's a little, braggy or whatever. No, I was in One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest.
Whoa.
Which was a very, like, I remember being so excited that we were going to do that. But then just like watching the theater teacher, Jeanette Abney, who was a really great teacher, but watching her just go through every page with a black marker and just marking at all the lines that we couldn't say. You know, because it's really like it's an adult thing. Like it's really ridiculous to have a bunch of high school kids trying to pull that one off. But what was You Can't Take It With You? Was
right, one. Right. Yeah.
I don't know that one.
So you're doing dramas. I mean, these are not musical plays where people are singing and dancing. You're doing more kind of hardcore, dramatic acting sort of.
That's what I'm known for. Yes, yeah, for sure. Yeah, that's in that circuit.
Yeah.
I was the, I was not the Mandy Patinkin. I was more of just a,
Robert
of a dramatic.
De Niro.
Robert De Niro, yeah.
Yeah. Vanessa has a lot of issues with some of the casting decisions made in our high school productions, her not getting certain roles.
Middle school.
She's held on to that a lot. Do you have any those kind of feelings, or have you kind of let that go over the last, 30 years or so?
I feel like I mostly got what I wanted. I feel pretty lucky, but I never got leads, and I was always kind of wanted to be the more character-y kind of, people that didn't have to hold the, carry the whole thing. I always like somebody who, who's, I remember doing a separate piece, which was about this kid who his buddy breaks his leg and dies and it's in the snow, but I got to play the schizophrenic side character who goes to the army and goes crazy or whatever. And that was like, so that, I never went out for anything that wasn't within my wheelhouse, which was always like the nerd or the freaky outy person.
Yeah.
You're doing such dramatic plays. I was like, how do I know a separate piece? And then I remembered that in my eighth grade, like honors English class, we read it and it was so dramatic. And
it's very depressing. Yeah.
It's so depressing. Yeah, it's so depressing. Crazy. You guys did that as a play.
Yeah.
That
I never
feels
insane. Yeah.
Like our plays at our high school were sort of,
I remember being the Princess and the Pea.
Yeah, Jonah, you were in the Princess and the Pea. Yeah. I remember in middle
Annie,
school, and I remember seeing it.
I mean,
it.
Ours were much more kind of
much
basic.
More, the much less serious kind of stuff. A separate, a lot of things you're naming, I didn't even know were plays.
Yeah.
Like they're just these like really dramatic, depressing books that somebody.
Did you guys do Taxi Driver or anything like that?
Yeah, we did Schindler's List, the play.
That's what I'm saying. It feels
Sophie's Choice.
Right.
Wow.
No, I don't know. I don't know. I wonder if that's just some sort of a part of the wackadoo politics of Texas trickling
Whoever
down into
was
the
in charge.
Into regional theater programs.
Let's get these kids into the grittiest of plays. Wow. Now, so you're from Austin?
I'm from Denton, Texas.
Oh, you're from Denton. That's right.
Little suburb outside of Dallas that has like a couple little colleges in it. And I always describe Denton as like a micro Austin, where it's like, you could kind of be a art. It was pretty friendly to like freaky artist kind of people, but also very small. And then we moved to Austin because it was just like, oh, it's just this way bigger version of Denton.
Yeah. And obviously Denton, Vanessa, you may not be aware of this, but like has an incredible music scene Mike's a part of with, like Marked Men, all these incredible bands, which feels like it's like 20 guys or something that are in like 9,000 bands.
We were all in each other's bands. There was there wasn't a lot to do, so we all just played in each other's bands.
And when did you move to Austin? How old were you when you moved there?
I've been here about 20 years now. So
has it changed at all?
Yeah,
I have a question about this. I have a question. Like,
okay,
when South by Southwest happens, do you go, oh boy. And was it always like that? Like, how has South by Southwest influence on you changed in the last 20 years?
Everybody local, not everybody, but a lot of local people are like, oh, yeah. South by Southwest. But I, from not living here, I was always excited to come down for South by Southwest
because
we started performing and stuff like years and years before we moved here. And then, I've gotten weary of it at times, but for the most part, I've always kind of enjoyed it because it means that a whole bunch of friends from other bands are coming into town. It means that I'm probably going to get to see a cool movie. Then when I started doing comedy, there's not a lot of like local comics that do do comedy, but there's a lot of cool, famous, you know, big people that you get to go see and satellite shows. So I've always kind of enjoyed it. It's a little hectic, especially when I used to like work in bars, because it would mean that I would, you know, between like attending things and working, I was just getting no sleep for an entire like 2 weeks. But
yeah,
but I've always kind of liked it. I always felt like there was too much hemming and hawing about
right,
not being fun.
Sure. Vanessa, remember we went 1 year.
I was just going to say, we were there at the same time. I was promoting Trainwreck and doing maybe one stand-up show, and you were...
I was playing with United Nations.
You were playing with United Nations, and also shows. You were getting... You got me so many free shoes.
Oh, yeah. I had a friend who worked for...
Converse,
Vans or something.
I think
it was Vans.
Oh, it was Vans.
They had some kind of house and they had free shoes.
Yeah, the
socks.
House of Vans.
Yeah. But yeah, we played a couple shows and it was for Collect, and Martin Shkreli was at our show.
Oh, that's wow.
Right. Yeah.
That's right.
He was there.
Did you get a chance to bro down or Vanessa make out with him maybe? I don't know.
I wish. For people who don't remember who Martin Shkreli is, will one of you explain it?
Yeah, he's, you know, the pharma bro guy, and he was, you know, it's actually kind of like, you know, our singer was involved in a label with him at the time.
Oh, wow.
Before,
I forgot he had that label. He did so much vileness, and I completely forgot that he was involved in, other than buying that Wu-Tang record.
Yeah,
he bought the million dollar Wu-Tang record.
He was like a very big fan of Screamo, you know, he was a huge Thursday fan. I met him twice. One was at that show, and once was at like a La Dispute show in Brooklyn. I mean, he was really into this kind of music. But yeah, I remember him being at the show. I didn't spend a lot of time with him.
He somehow made some kind of a drug cost a lot of money.
Yeah.
He was like a villain. Yeah.
Yes, very much a villain. He made like a drug that normally costs like, at $5 or $10 cost like $300 or something like that. And it was like, it was like diabetes for elderly ladies or something specific where it was just really, really evil.
Yeah.
You knew him before he turned, or maybe before people knew.
I didn't really know him super well. I mean, like I said, I just remember him being at that show because it was a label. But that was the year we were there together, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, it was really fun.
Yes.
Martin Shkreli.
Yeah.
I didn't know it was going to take that turn.
I bet you could get him on this podcast.
I think we probably
is
could.
Is he in prison?
No.
I think he just got out recently.
I think he got out recently.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Well, then Olivia, our producer, I hope you're...
Yeah.
Yeah, and I think we actually hung out with Zach Blair at that House of Vans.
Oh, maybe, yeah.
Who's, you know, plays with Mike. And
also, I think I got shoes and a gift card for shoes, which was amazing. Do you like how that's what I remember?
That's one of the best things about festivals is when you get free shoes.
And that's
always a treat. And
so
also
fun.
Always a pain when you get the free shoes really early and you have to carry them around all day because, you know, you had to park like 100 miles away or whatever. So you're just kind of stuck watching, you know, watching the band Mogwai with a bunch of Converse under your arms.
I know. That's true.
Yeah,
that is true. Yeah, the first year I went there many years ago and I got a free pair of Sauconys and then I think Vans.
They don't really do
that stuff anymore, I don't think. But yeah. I don't know. I don't know if that's still as much of a thing, that kind of, you know, I don't know, but I'm not really as much in the biz these days. I don't know. What do you think, Mike? You still got a lot of free stuff?
I think it's changed a lot post-pandemic. So it's really like them having to, you know, that it brings, South by Southwest brings in like millions and millions of dollars to the city, like multiple millions, millions. And so it was a real hit when the pandemic took it out for 2 years. So I think they're kind of like rebuilding. So I think the industry is kind of trying to figure out what it is. It's becoming more and more of a tech thing than a music thing anymore.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm thinking about moving into the tech space myself. So,
Whoa, Jonah, what kind of projects are you thinking of doing?
Oh, some AI, I think. Thinking AI.
Mm. Right. And you'll do what with it?
Yeah. I don't know exactly what. Yeah.
Okay. That's really
you know, cool. I heard Martin Scorsese's looking to get into tech too. So maybe
yeah,
it's
I bet he'd love to replace a ton of people's jobs with AI. Yeah. That feels like a villain move.
Yeah.
All right. Well, we're going to take a quick break and we'll be right back with Mike Wiebe.
This is it. Your moment. This is your time to make your comeback with Purdue Global. When you come back with a Purdue Global degree, you create opportunity for yourself, your family, and your future. It's a degree you can be proud of, a degree that employers will trust and respect. Purdue Global offers working adults like you over 175 flexible degree programs to meet your specific career goals. These include associate, bachelor's, master's, and doctoral degrees and certificates. Purdue Global degree programs range from nursing to business to communication and more. Whatever your interest, we have the degree that will move you forward. You have the knowledge. You have the experience. Now it's time to get credit for the work you've done and earn the recognition you deserve with Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. You know you're worth it. We do too. So don't wait another second to get the degree that will take your career to the next level. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
You deserve a moment to yourself every single day. And a delicious bite of a Keebler Sandies can give you that comforting pause. Celebrate the end of your workday with the melt-in-your-mouth magic of a Keebler Sandies. This magic is baked into simple shortbread cookies by Ernie and the Keebler Elves. So as another busy month flies by, make the most of your me moment. Take a pause and enjoy a Keebler Sandies.
Snag a Job is where America goes to hire, with the deepest talent pool in hourly hiring. With access to over 6 million active hourly workers, Snag a Job is the all-in-one solution for hiring high-quality employees who can cover all your needs. On demand, temp to hire, part-time or full-time. You name the position: warehouse worker, retail associate, grocery store clerk, fitness trainer, baker, stylist, bellhop, podcast producer. Yeah, Snag a Job's got a worker for that. With our easy-to-use platform, you're able to seamlessly post and fill available positions quickly, with a dedicated customer support team to provide all the help you need along the way. Kind of nice knowing you have a talent pool like that in your own backyard, right? Snagajob is the partner you need to keep your business running smoothly. So visit snagajob.com or text SNAG to 242424 to talk to an expert. Snagajob.com, where America goes to hire.
And we're back. So, Mike, you gave us some great topics, and one of them that we landed on was Saturday morning cartoons. Bring us back to Denton, Texas in the 80s, Saturday morning. What's your go-to cartoon? What's your go-to cereal? What are we talking about?
Well, you know, I was even specifically thinking about the excitement of in September when the new seasons of shows would come out. And it felt like they canceled like 90% of the cartoons every season and had 90%. So there'd be ads in comic books, and then you get like TV Guide or whatever, and it would just have like these ads of like rundowns for all the new cartoons that were going to come out. And they were all so foreign and exciting, and you couldn't believe they were making a cartoon about Rubik's Cube or Pac-Man or, you know, whatever, like just all these new cartoons. And I just remember that was like one of my favorite times of the year, was to sit there and kind of like make a plan, because there's three networks, there's ABC, NBC, and CBS. And so there's going to be cartoons that are running at the certain time. So you had to really kind of plan out what you were going to watch, and maybe you can switch to some during the commercial break. But the idea that you're going to have to miss some this week, and then the next week was going to be when you give, you know, the Mighty Orbots a chance instead of watching, you know, Dungeons and Dragons or whatever. And you're going to have to switch and flip them around. And I remember like sitting with the TV Guide and planning out like the next 3 weeks of cartoons that I was going to give my attention to. And it was just so exciting, especially because I didn't understand what seasons were or anything like that. Mm-hmm. It was just this thing of like TV was just TV, and stuff comes on, and then sometimes it doesn't come on. And you just, there, you were at the whim of the magic box the whole time. There was no like insider information about that.
Yeah, it's true. Did you have any kind of favorite kind of standouts that you remember?
There was a Dungeons and Dragons cartoon that I really liked a whole lot because it was kind of more of an action adventure cartoon. Because there was some choices you had to make. Like they had, I always loved Bugs Bunny and Looney Tunes, but they'd show those on Saturday mornings, but that was something you could get every, that you could get that on the weekdays. You could get that on coming home from school or before you have to go to school.
So why prioritize it on Saturday morning?
So you got,
it's,
I really enjoyed, there was a cartoon called Galaxy High that I really liked. That was just about a bunch of, because I was probably in grade school or junior high, but it was about like teenagers in a high school, but it was a space high school.
Whoa, wow, and I don't remember that. That was one of my favorite ones.
And that ran, I think, for, I kind of was like looking up because memory is faulty. I was looking up and like, oh, that ran for several seasons. That would like ran for like two seasons, or at least they just maybe just kept showing the first season for a second season. So those two were big Saturday morning ones. There was a Thundar the Barbarian.
Yep.
Was a big one. Pole Position, about some guys who drove these fancy cars that could kind of fly around. Those were the big ones. I was honestly really just the idea that there were three channels showing just cartoons for like 4 hours if you got up at 6 a.m. was just such like, it was just like gorging on candy. It was so, so exciting.
Fun. The best.
Now, it sounds like you really planned things out, like you were really scheduling things. Whereas I don't know where you fall on this, Jonah. I feel like personally, the thing about TV when I was a kid was I felt like I had no control over it. I didn't really know how to schedule it. I just felt like if I turned on the TV and Jem was on, it was like the best day of my life. Like I didn't really know how to like regularly watch stuff. And when I was reading some of this research on Saturday morning cartoons, so many shows that I loved, I didn't even remember that they were on Saturday mornings. But Jonah, do you feel like you scheduled that?
No, I feel like I was not, you know, I feel like I woke up and then kind of turned it on and just flipped around or whatever, you know, if Muppet Babies or Teenage Ninja Turtles are on, it's like, that's where I'm staying, right?
And then it seems like a lot of those shows that did have success, for example, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, moved on to like a weekday type of a thing.
Yeah,
right?
I think it's called syndication. When you get a certain amount of episodes, it gets syndicated. Vanessa, you probably know this having been on TV.
Right. Yeah, yes. I guess I just didn't even realize those shows were on Saturday mornings ever.
Right.
But some of them, but they were.
And then some of them just kind of got stuck there on Saturday mornings, which is kind of, and they would do a weird thing. Cause when I was looking at this, trying to refresh my memory, I was just like looking up like Saturday morning programming, 1986 to 87 or whatever. And like, they would move the time slots around like mid season all the time.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah.
Seems crazy, but also they're little kids who they're not going to remember.
Right. We're not going to be like, oh, I don't like that this program's not on at this time.
Like, I'm busy at this time. Yeah. It's like, what are you going to do? You can clean
also,
your room.
Do you remember that they targeted, at least in the, maybe this was late 80s, early 90s, they really started targeting Say No to Drugs stuff, like in between Saturday morning cartoons. And there's this one ad that I always try to find. I always go into a deep dive where this kid's like skateboarding through this dark town. And it's like he's just skateboarding, kind of like past a lot of drugs and stuff, and then that are sort of personified. And then at the end, it's like, say no to drugs, which is what I think all of those ads kind of had, like some kind of like rock and roll kind of acoustic or electric guitar, like, say no to drugs, like, which did as a kid make you be like, okay, it is cool to say no to drugs. Like, there's cool music. This kid's acting so cool. He's saying no to like the personified smoke or whatever. And this rocks.
Yeah. They definitely didn't prepare you for the fact that drugs were going to be offered to you by somebody who's actually like a really nice and cool friend, you know, like a friend that like is a close friend that you've known your whole life, that it wasn't going to be a horrible monster that slinks out of an alley, you know?
Or it's not going to be like some like mean kid who's like, everyone's doing it, so you have to do it too. Because the peer pressure thing was such a part of it. But you're right. It's like, it's probably going to be a cool, nice person who you respect.
Yeah. Yeah, nobody wants to punch you to make you do the drugs that they worked hard to get, probably.
Yeah, that they paid money for. Yeah. They're not going to be like, take my drugs for free or I'll be mad at you when I paid all this money for them.
Going to punch you in the arm real hard.
Mike, what was your kind of likes? Were you snacking on anything while you were watching these cartoons? Or what's your...
We had a pretty... pretty sugarless cereal house. The one indulgence we got was Honey Nut Cheerios.
Yeah.
Oh, so those are good. Have you tried those today?
Yes.
They stand up big time.
They do. I eat them raw. I raw dog them. Just handfuls in the thing, handfuls in the box.
Okay.
Just eat them. There's falling through my fingers.
They're so good. A lot of, I feel like I know, like some of my friends who are parents have, will pack Cheerios in a little baggie for their kids or whatever. And I'm like, why don't I do that for myself? Why don't you pack me any, you know?
And it was, as a kid, it was the greatest in that, like, they did a real sneaky move by making Cheerios sugary.
Yes.
You know, because Cheerios were so obviously like the healthy cereal or whatever, or promoted as the healthy cereal. So the fact that that glaze of honey on them was just magnifique.
I was big into Raisin Bran Crunch. Do you remember that one?
Oh, that was so good. Yeah. That was such a sugar cereal disguised as a healthy
But you're like, it
cereal.
Has raisins in it. Raisins. It's got to be super good for you.
It's Raisin
so
Bran, but it's... Can you imagine anything more fun than just sitting and eating cereal and watching Saturday morning cartoons? I want to do it right now.
Yeah, it is. That would be.
It's and it so is weird. Fun.
I do. There's a couple things that I try not to be too like, kind of like the South by Southwest thing. I try not to be too like negative about like things have changed and the old is good and bad is new. But it is a little bit of a. It is a little bit of a sad thing that kids probably don't experience Saturday morning cartoons like I did. You know, that like video rental stores is like a thing that like, oh man, I'm so bummed that people don't, we'll never get to really experience that again. Cause that was like an older highlight of my life. But like definitely Saturday morning cartoons, it's like, kids don't probably even watch TV. They watch like YouTube and or streamers or whatever. And it's just all on demand and stuff like that.
Yeah. And I did some research on this. Yeah. It started the Saturday morning cartoons kind of started at Saturday and Sunday mornings and the big three television networks.
As you said.
Started in the mid 60s to the mid 2000s. And yeah, it just kind of declined, I think, in the mid 2000s, I think, just because of people's habits and everything and probably the iPhone. And then now these kids are like, did you remember beta testing this app as a kid or something?
It's, yeah.
Oh, this is interesting though. Cable television networks have revived the practice of debuting their most popular animated programming on Saturday and Sunday mornings on a sporadic basis. Interesting.
Yeah. Maybe. I don't know. I have no idea really if that still happens.
I'm going to maybe test it out on Saturday.
Yeah. Yeah, try it. Turn on the TV
because I'm
Saturday
interested
morning.
To know. Also, there's so many of the cartoons, like the ones that I loved were like Garfield was huge.
Garfield
is a big Garfield fan.
Huge. Yeah. Was Heathcliff on Saturday mornings? Because I used to get them confused and go, okay, I guess the difference is that Garfield lives kind of a luxe life and eats lasagna and sort of like just annoys Jim. And Heathcliff lives in a bunch of garbage cans.
Yeah. And then you had Clifford, who's
Clifford,
you know,
the big
red
dog.
He's kind of doing his thing too.
Yeah. There was a show called Garfield and Friends, and it was like half was Garfield, but half was like the same style of art, but it was a bunch of people that lived on a farm, and there was an egg that hadn't hatched, but just its feet were out, egg would walk around.
Oh yeah, Garfield and I feel like you would focus on the other characters.
Yeah,
and there were other animals too.
Wow.
There were other animals. It was a bunch of other animals. It was like a sidecar. There was like the And Friends part of it. It had its own show, and there was like ducks and maybe some pigs. But I mostly remember the one egg with the feet that's come out that is not right. Like it was, I think they were introducing like childhood anxiety because it was scared to crack open. It wanted to kind of stay in the, in the egg womb of sorts.
Yes. So the egg's name is Sheldon, and this is from U.S. Acres.
U.S. Acres. Which, yes.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. And he didn't want to come out of his show, which, Sheldon, we get
okay,
it.
Our producer Olivia is saying you can watch it on Peacock.
Ooh.
I'm going to go out on a limb and say that now that you've said that, Mike, I think I liked Garfield and Friends more than I liked regular Garfield.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's fair.
It was more fun to have more characters.
Yeah, you get more lasagna.
More Jonah, lasagna. Did you know, I don't know if you knew this, that our cat growing up who resembled Garfield, Pumpkin, who is a long-haired orange cat.
I remember the cat, yeah.
I gave him the middle name Garfield, so his official name was Pumpkin Garfield Bayer. Did you know that?
I vaguely remember this. Not okay. Something I've thought about recently, wow. But yeah, very, very yeah. Creative.
That's how much, yeah, Garfield
influence. Very influential, yeah.
Yeah, Pumpkin Garfield Bayer.
So. I remember noticing at one point that I think the guy who does Garfield's voice is the same guy who did Peter Venkman's voice on The Real Ghostbusters.
Really?
Yeah, I remember definitely hearing voices through different cartoons. There was a lot of people. And then when I got older, I was so freaked out because Dungeons and Dragons, which was that cartoon that I liked, had the voice of Donnie Most from Happy Days, Ralph Mal from Happy Days,
was one
of the main guys, and Willie Ames from Charles in Charge was like one of the main guys, just super recognizable people that like, I can't believe I never noticed that before.
It's shot. I texted Jonah earlier this week because I saw this thing on social media that the voice of Knight Rider was Mr. Feeny from Boy Meets World.
Yeah.
I was like, what?
I want to make a Shazam app that nails people's voices in commercials because sometimes there'll be a car commercial and I'm like, I know this actor and it will torture me forever.
Yeah.
That's a good. Did you guys ever see that comic Garfield minus Garfield?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
No.
That's really great. And I should check out. It's someone went through and took Garfield out of all the comics.
Wow.
So it's just Jim talking to himself. And it's like makes it like very dark and like existential.
Wow,
yeah.
I'll have it's, to look
it's
that
really
up.
Cool.
That sounds really funny.
Yeah, yeah. Mike, do you remember the speaking of Saturday morning, the Saturday morning cartoon soundtrack where a lot of like punk and alternative bands remade these songs?
Whoa.
Yeah. Yeah. I remember that. I was trying to look it up. I looked for it on Spotify and there's like a few of the songs are there. But it's like, you know, a lot of these soundtracks they're missing a lot.
Yeah, the
licensing stuff.
What was
the premise of the show?
It was a soundtrack. It came out in 95, and it was like all these alternative bands covering Saturday morning cartoon shows. So like the Ramones covered Spider-Man. It was like
Liz Phair covered like the Banana Splits.
Yeah.
So is it a show or is it?
No, this was a soundtrack.
This is a soundtrack.
But it was like a lot of the big alternative bands of the day, you know, Toadies, Sublime, Face to Face is on it, Dig, some Helmet, Collective Soul, of course.
How would one find this? What is it? It's called?
It's called Saturday Morning Cartoons Greatest Hits.
Great.
Yeah, so it's just a soundtrack from 95. Okay. Like I said, it's not really on stream. It's probably on YouTube, but there is a song by a band Vanessa really likes, Frente.
I love Frente.
Yeah, they cover the Flintstones song, theme song.
Okay, gotta check this out as ASAP.
Yeah, and the name of the Flintstones song is called Open Up Your Heart and Let Sunshine In.
Yeah, that's the song everyone knows from the Flintstones.
But I guess it's a song that was first written in 1954.
Okay.
Is that maybe from an episode where there was a band in the episode, I think?
It says that the most famous recording featured Pebbles and Bam Bam performing the song during the closing credits of the show's last season.
Wow.
And it says, although they formed a rock band as teenagers in the 70s, this was kind of their biggest hit.
Okay.
So it sounds like Pebbles and Bam Bam peaked kind of early with their musical career.
Yeah.
Right. As so many people do.
That happened to me. That happened to me.
Now, Jonah, you found this really interesting article that 6 cringeworthy Saturday morning celebrity cartoons from the 80s and 90s.
I'll be curious if you remember any of these because I didn't.
One of them I remembered and I remember being a huge fan of these celebrities and still not wanting to watch it.
I'm guessing a lot of these had the celebrity in live action come and intro the cartoon? Because that happened quite
often. You're absolutely right.
Yes.
Okay. They wouldn't actually be their voice in the cartoon, but they do these like interstitials that are, were probably way easier for them to do and way less of a commitment, and they still probably got paid.
Yeah.
Yeah. So there's this article in Collider about it. MC Hammer had one called Hammerman, Don't Touch This, where it was, he did voice the character. Some of these cartoons, they actually had like no one from the bands involved or the celebrities, but he voiced this character. Do you remember that at all, Mike? There was only one season.
I don't remember MC Hammer.
Okay.
No, I don't.
Okay.
Oh, I think the article says, don't touch this.
Oh, gotcha. That's not the name of the, right.
The
that makes more sense.
The article looks like it was written by you, Jonah, because the introduction of each show makes like kind of a punny, smart
this
comment.
One was bad enough that no one wanted to touch it. Yeah, that is
exactly.
That does sound like
exactly.
Something I would
it's
write.
Very Jonah.
The next one is The New Kids on the Block. They call it, say The Wrong Stuff, which not the name, but do you remember
that's
that
the one
at
that
all,
I
Mike?
Remember
you remember
I
that
I remember it coming out, and just I don't know if I saw it once and realized it wasn't their real voices, or I don't know, I just remember having no interest in it. And what's so funny is that this article says that it was like in a lot of these cartoons, the celebrities were heroes, but in this one, the members of New Kids on the Block are just trying to navigate a life of fame. And like they'd find themselves in situations where they like wanted to be treated as ordinary people, but were discovered by fans and cornered and needed help escaping. Like it seems like such a bad idea for a show. It seems like so not relatable and not
relatable,
fun
yeah.
for
wow.
kids
yeah.
to yeah. see them just be surrounded by fans and have to get out of the situation.
It's like if they made a Saturday morning cartoon of Entourage. What's Vinny Chase getting into this week? Is he going to make the deal?
What disguise is he going to wear to go to the grocery store?
Yeah.
It's like, what about this appeals to kids?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's a bizarre one. We also got a Mr. T, which I guess lasted 3 seasons of Mr. T cartoon.
I remember the Mr. T cartoon.
You do?
I do, okay. Yeah. And I think I'm pretty sure he did little interstitials of coming
yes,
on it. Like,
yes.
like definitely like it was a very, all his stuff was very like anti-drug, anti-bullying, anti,
yes,
you
they
know,
had a moral to every episode. This
yeah.
Says.
Yeah. So this is a really interesting one. This one is about a trio of celebrity athletes called Pro Stars, and it's Michael Jordan, Wayne Gretzky, and Bo Jackson. And
I remember this one too.
I remember
they were
this.
Working on like the ozone crisis, rainforest pollution, and it said they didn't voice the characters.
Crisis.
It's also so, again, these guys are making so much money by just like licensing their likenesses, and then they don't have to do any work. They don't have to do the voiceovers at all. They just get to like come in and like while they're already at work, like record a fast video.
I've gotten lucky enough to record a couple voiceovers for some. There's like a Japanese animation, well, a company that buys all Japanese animation in Dallas. And back when I lived there, I did a bunch of voiceovers for, I never like got any lead characters, but I'd like go in for like 3 or 4 hours and just do 10 different guys, you know, villain number 2 or villager number 6. And what, huh? And a lot of stuff like that for like Dragon Ball Z and some shows like that. But it was the easiest job ever.
Yeah,
and it was the most fun too. I can't imagine turning that gig down.
Yeah. Yeah. I love doing voiceover stuff. It's so fun. It's so easy. You can literally wear your sweatpants, which since the pandemic is all I really ever do anyway. But it's great. Now, Jonah, what about this next one, which I might remember?
Hulk Hogan's Rock.
Oh no, I don't.
Rock and Wrestling.
Oh yeah, I remember.
You remember that,
that
one? You do? Yeah. So this is this is a bunch of wrestlers, I think
Andre the Giant was one of them, and and I don't think it was his real voice, but Andre the Giant having I think he was like Austrian or somewhere Eastern Bloc, so he had this very thick accent, and I remember an episode where they found a baby elephant, and he kept saying "baby elephant," and that's just a random thing stuck in my head of me and my brothers saying "baby elephant."
Well, this article does says the weird thing about this show is there was little wrestling. Instead, the show focused on strange plots like cleaning Mean Gene's house or Hulk Hogan becoming Robin Hulk and defending Sherwood Forest with his merry band of wrestlers
after getting conned a time machine.
Oh. Do you think at any point like the writers are like, it seems a little too out there. I think we got to reel it back in a little bit. Maybe the time travel feels.
I think they should have used that in the squared circle up there. Do that in the ring for real.
Well, I think that also my memory is that also wrestling was on, like WWF wrestling was on.
Right,
too.
Right. So why watch them wrestle when you can watch cartoons of them cleaning a garage or whatever?
Yeah.
Where does a vacuum cleaner go? Anyways, and the last one is a Kid and Play had a cartoon.
Oh, wow.
They didn't voice their own characters, but there were live action segments that also included Salt and Pepper, Kool Moe Dee, and it was focused on how to help kids make good choices and stay out of trouble. Unfortunately, yeah, I don't think this cartoon
it was really
was on for
cheesy.
A long time.
So the lessons didn't really get learned, and no one watched it. It sounds
what,
like
did little kids like Kid and Play too? Like that felt like such a teenagery kind of That was like hip.
They kind of crossed over, I think, into like being kind of like a kind of cultural pop culture phenomenon. I think.
Well, yeah,
they
had the movie in 1990, House Party, which was a huge success, and I think. Maybe the creators maybe thought it aired from September to December 1990. So it kind of came out at the same time. Maybe there was a big Kid and Play push, and in the movie for teenagers and adults, it worked great. And in this animated show that seems like it absolutely stunk, it didn't go well. Kid and Play seems like having them go from like having a house party in a movie and probably like kind of trying to get out of trouble to teaching lessons in a cartoon seems
Do you guys remember that Kid and Play, like they had that kind of famous dance where mm-hmm. it's like you do it someone
they
else and you
feet.
Kind of grab their feet. Yeah. I feel like everyone would try to do it, but like no one really knew how to do it.
Yeah.
Just be like, you'd be just like kicking your friend sort of like.
Yeah. It was hard to coordinate it. They were really pretty talented dancers.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah.
Yeah. They could do that thing where you hold your foot and then you jump and make your foot go through the loop of you holding the foot?
Right. Yes.
Yeah. I remember my friends trying to do that dance and copy them. And I remember being like, there's just no way. I don't even want to try and do this. It looks
you could get
impossible.
Hurt.
Yeah. Well, Mike, you know, you famously have gotten hurt, you know, during live performances, jumping off things. Have you ever tried to do like a Kid and Play type move off like
on stage?
On stage off maybe like a PA or something. I don't know.
Dare accepted.
Now, Joni, you said Mike has famously gotten hurt. I'd like to hear about just one example of one of these injuries, if it's not too painful to recount.
Yeah, my little heart just makes me want to go for it up there. And one time, this was actually at South by Southwest. We were playing this, we would play in this little bar called the Jackalope that we would play every year. It was like a free show and just have as many people come in. It was kind of like a side, like an unofficial show. And I jumped off a bar and I timed it poorly because like during the set I went and they let me pour drinks for everybody. Like while I was singing, I was like pouring shots and they were giving out shots. So everybody was holding up their shot glasses and I jumped into the crowd forgetting that everyone's sweet, sweet booze was a lot more precious to them than catching old Mike.
Gotcha.
And I fell and I collapsed my lung. I collapsed left lung. Yeah. So I was in the hospital for about a week with a tube in between my ribs, kind of working it out.
Wow.
Learned a valuable lesson that day.
Yeah. I'm glad you're okay. And
yeah, me too.
Yeah. That's feels like, what did you do? You remember what you did right after you felt like, were you unconscious or were you like,
I tried finishing the song.
Wow.
It was the last song in the set.
Okay.
But I finished the song, but I think it probably sounded like when you have a balloon that has a rip in the balloon and you're trying to blow it up. It's just kind of this.
Right. Oh.
Flapping, airy thing. It was pretty bad.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah. Wow. Well, and I also just want to give a plug, like I said, Riverboat Gamble is one of my favorite bands. My wife kind of makes fun of me because like I say, like, every band, she's like, how many bands are like your favorite band? I'm like, this guy Mike's one of my favorite bands. She's like, you say that like four times a day about different bands. But yeah, and I know Something to Crow About just got re-released. And
yeah,
I did a bio for you guys for Volcom a long time ago for the Wolfie Feed, which is still like one of my favorite records, like just an amazing record, and all the other stuff you do, and Broken Gold with Ian and all you guys. I'm just such a big fan of everything.
Oh, thanks, Jonah.
Okay, Jonah's absolutely geeking out, so it's time to take a commercial break.
But we'll be right back with Mike Wiebe. Yeah.
This is it, your moment. This is your time to make your comeback with Purdue Global. When you come back with a Purdue Global degree, you create opportunity for yourself, your family, and your future. It's a degree you can be proud of, a degree that employers will trust and respect. Purdue Global offers working adults like you over 175 flexible degree programs to meet your specific career goals. These include associate, bachelor's, master's, and doctoral degrees and certificates. Purdue Global degree programs range from nursing to business to communication and more. Whatever your interest, we have the degree that will move you forward. You have the knowledge. You have the experience. Now it's time to get credit for the work you've done and earn the recognition you deserve with Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. You know you're worth it. We do too. So don't wait another second to get the degree that will take your career to the next level. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
You deserve a moment to yourself every single day. And a delicious bite of a Keebler Sandies can give you that comforting pause. Celebrate the end of your workday with the melt-in-your-mouth magic of a Keebler Sandies. This magic is baked into simple shortbread cookies by Ernie and the Keebler Elves. So as another busy month flies by, make the most of your me moment. Take a pause and enjoy a Keebler Sandies.
Snag a Job is where America goes to hire, with the deepest talent pool in hourly hiring. With access to over 6 million active hourly workers, Snag a Job is the all-in-one solution for hiring high-quality employees who can cover all your needs. On demand, temp to hire, part-time or full-time. You name the position. Warehouse worker, retail associate, grocery store clerk, fitness trainer, baker, stylist, bellhop, podcast producer? Yeah, Snagajob's got a worker for that. With our easy-to-use platform, you're able to seamlessly post and fill available positions quickly, with a dedicated customer support team to provide all the help you need along the way. Kind of nice knowing you have a talent pool like that in your own backyard, right? Snagajob is the partner you need to keep your business running smoothly. So visit snagajob.com or text snag to 242424 to talk to an expert. Snagajob.com, where America goes to hire.
And we are back.
We have a game to play with you now, Mike. And Jonah loves kind of a pop culture phrase, which is congratulations, you played yourself. So he's decided to name this game Congratulations, You Played Yourself, Product Edition.
Congratulations, you played yourself.
Yeah. Jonah, do you want to explain it?
Sure. Yeah. So this is a new segment. This is going to be a reoccurring segment for at least a couple episodes where we discuss three products that were discontinued in 2023 and pick one of them we'd like to bring back. In other words, which one of these corporations completely played themselves? So
okay, there it
I
is.
Will pick, okay. So basically it's from CNN Business, this article. We'll pick three of these things that got discontinued last year, and then we decide which one we want to bring back. I guess the logic being if you discontinued something that we want to bring back, you played yourself.
Right.
So the first one is the Dunkachino. So it's one of the most recognizable drinks at Dunkin' Donuts. It was added to the menus in 2000, and it was supposed to be a unique blend of coffee and hot chocolate. There was a frozen version too. Dunkin' Donuts didn't say why they discontinued it, but people are speculating it's because it just wasn't selling well. I guess there is a hack where if you order a hot chocolate with a turbo shot of espresso, that can sound similar to a Dunkachino. But basically, after you know 2 decades, the Dunkachino's gone. Mike, any thoughts about the Dunkachino discontinued?
We here in Texas, we don't have very many Dunkin' Donuts. They're not okay. as prevalent as they are in other parts. So I've never had a Dunkachino, but I definitely know about the Dunkachino from mostly from online, but it was in that Al Pacino in that Adam Sandler movie did a whole rap where he was going dunk, dunk, Dunkachino.
Really?
And it was the Al Pacino. Yeah, it's really funny. And it's where Al Pacino's promoting Dunkachino as and he's just singing a bunch of lines from various like really famous I can't remember what Adam Sandler movie is. I think maybe Jack and Jill, maybe.
Okay. Yes, our producer Olivia is saying it's from Jack and Jill.
Okay. I haven't seen that one, which is weird because I've been watching a lot of like later, early 2000s era Adam Sandler movies recently because there are some bizarre ones. Like I'm watching Click and all of these kind of,
Yeah.
But Dunks. Okay, so no strong feelings about it.
I don't have strong feelings. It sounds like something too sugary for me, like drink-wise.
Yeah.
I tend to like my coffee just straight black. So I'm probably not going to fight for this to come back.
Sure, that's fair. Vanessa, what are your thoughts on the
Jonah, what did you say the hack was for this again, that you could order it?
Like a shot, I think it's like a hot chocolate with espresso or something. A shot of it. Yeah.
I mean, let's also say
like, okay, like, is this really a hack? I don't know.
Let's not give this too much credit.
Yeah.
Well, I was just going to say, I just don't know a ton of adults, which generally adults are who drink coffee. I don't know a ton of adults who are like, I want to have a coffee that's also hot chocolate. So it doesn't seem like a huge loss to me. Although I guess maybe this was more for the teenage market. Cause I remember as a teenager, I was always ordering cafe mochas because I was like, I'm being cool and drinking coffee, but at the same time, it just sort of tastes like hot chocolate, but just not quite as good. So
yeah,
I just don't know. The Dunkachino, I am surprised because I feel like maybe because of that movie, but that name is so recognizable as someone who's always lived in areas that are around a lot of Dunkin' Donuts. But I don't know. I don't feel super strongly about it. I feel more strongly about it in that it's such a recognizable name, unless that like, I'm like, oh, I can't get a hot chocolate coffee at Dunkin' Donuts, which already sounds pretty disgusting.
Yeah.
Jonah, how do you feel about this?
Look, it's no secret my feelings about Dunkin'. I live the opposite of you, Mike. I live in an area where there's like one every like 20 feet.
Yeah.
And, you know, I've had my own issues with our local Dunkin' Donuts. I've emailed with their management about certain things I'd like to see change, which haven't.
Always getting it. They probably love you there.
Yeah. And now, you know, I have my own kind of home espresso set up. I can be a little snobby about coffee. Yeah. This to me is something I would never order unless it was on their rewards app where it was like spend like 5 cents and you get it for free. But the way they've restructured the reward system that, you know, that's never going to happen.
Don't get Jonah started.
That's a whole other. So yeah. So no, I don't know. I don't know. I don't like the really sugary stuff either. So I would say no on this one.
Yeah.
Vanessa, what about you? What's the next one here?
Okay. So the next one is Raspberry Rally cookies. This is a Girl Scouts cookie. And they say, while Raspberry Rally was extremely popular last year, they're taking a pause this season to prioritize supplying their classic varieties. They introduced this cookie last year as a sister cookie to the iconic Thin Mints. But in the Raspberry Rally, the cookie part is replaced with a bright pink berry flavored part. So I guess that's instead of the peppermint, it's raspberry and it's dipped in the same chocolate coating. And I guess the news that it wasn't coming back created an online shopping spree with some people, some chapters reporting they sold out of the $5 boxes in less than a day. Resellers are selling them on eBay for as much as $30 a box. So the Raspberry Rally cookie, again, envision a Thin Mint, but instead of mint, it's raspberry. How do you feel, Mike? Are you going to miss these? Are you?
I never got a chance to try those, but they sound delicious.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I don't know if they sound going through eBay and getting 30 bucks for them, but it sounds good. I'm generally a fan of all the Girl Scout cookies.
Yeah.
Yeah. To me, I find it so interesting, these cultural phenomenons with these products, because like, I just saw an article this week about, you know, that company Stanley that makes those mugs.
Oh, yeah.
There's this pink Valentine's Day Stanley mug and Target has them and like people are stampeding to get them. And it's like, why? Because you're told this is an important thing. Like, it's so weird how these things catch on. Like, how is this different than any other color?
Scarcity. Yeah.
Yeah. But it's really just like kind of marketing. Like, how do they figure out to get people to care about this stuff? And kind of with these cookies, like, yeah, they sound good, but it's also like, my mind always goes to, oh, maybe this is like a strategic move where they get everyone discontinue them on purpose. Yeah. With all this stuff, with all these products, it's like, do they just take them away to bring them back? Mike, almost like, when a band's like, we're breaking up. And then like a year later, they're like, now it's a reunion and it gets people excited. Sometimes I wonder.
That's the classic Coke, new Coke theory.
Yeah, yeah.
Because remember when they took classic Coke away, or they took Coke away and made new Coke, and then brought back Coca-Cola Classic.
Yep.
I don't know.
So yeah, to Mike's point, yeah, I think raspberry. I like raspberry. I like mm-hmm. sounds good. Mm-hmm. The mint, but if it's not there, then I wanted to try this cookie. They don't have it. I'll get something else. I'm not jumping on eBay right. and starting a bidding war. Vanessa, what about you?
Well, I just want to be clear with the listeners that nowhere in this article does it say it was a marketing move. I think that's Jonah. Is that something Jonah thinks might be happening behind the scenes? And that's quite possible.
That's quite possible.
Yeah. It's actually probably a really smart move by them to be like changing up the cookies every so often, because then probably the ones that aren't available anymore always get sold out right away. The reason that I don't feel like we need to bring these back, but I sort of agree with what Girl Scouts did here, is because I always get bummed out when I go to buy Girl Scout cookies and it's all these new flavors. Like, I just want to buy the nostalgic ones. I feel like the basic original nostalgic ones were so good that it's sometimes a bummer when it's like the only ones we have left are these ones that are I've never heard of before. And I don't know. I just feel like Girl Scout cookies are so good and there's no need to really mess with the originals. But also, I probably sound like a Karen right now. So... So I don't know. Jonah, do you want to read this last one?
Yeah. So the last one is, there's an article in CNN here. Foodies are devastated that Ranzoni will discontinue its beloved star-shaped pastina. So
pasta. Yeah.
So pasta brand Ranzoni has announced they're discontinuing its pastina product, which is a little star-shaped pasta. They posted earlier this month on Instagram, "We hear you and greatly appreciate your love for Ranzoni Pastina. After extensive efforts, we regretfully announce that Ranzoni Pastina is being discontinued. This wasn't a decision that we wanted to make." it says that, you know, this was due to a long-term supplier that announced they'd no longer be able to make pastina starting in January 2023. They said they searched for an alternative solution, but were unable to identify a viable option to make pastina in the same beloved small shape, size, and standards you've come to expect from Ranzoni. So yeah, so they're basically saying, I don't know, the pasta company they buy it from was like, our star machine's broken.
Yeah.
I don't know. So I don't know. What do you two think about the Ranzoni pastina discontinued? Mike, what do you think?
This smells like some sort of lie. There's some sort of cover up going here.
Yeah.
Somebody's not telling the truth. They're pulling the wool over the American public's eyes with this pastazoni debacle.
It's interesting because it doesn't seem like it would be that complicated to cut pasta into a different shape.
Yeah.
They're very tiny, I will say that.
Vanessa speaking up for big pasta, but...
Well, I just want to give a shout out to our dad right now, because what you just said, Mike, reminded me of this one time. Jonah does not remember this. I've already asked him. That our dad confronted... He confronted someone he worked at. I think it was his old boss. And he told him, he said, "You're not going to pull the wool." And then he pretended to pull wool over his eyes. And then he said, "Over my eyes." And I remember him coming home and telling us about when he did this. And it was so crazy.
Yeah, you got to mime it out.
You got to mime it out.
Pull the wool over my eyes. You give a space in between wool and over my eyes to actually pull down that wool.
Yeah, I do not remember this, but I have no doubt that it happened.
Yeah, it's very Todd. I will say that I actually feel like it is sad that this went away, because I just, first of all, I want to say I never knew it existed, because I thought those little stars only came in certain soups. I didn't know you could buy the little star pasta on its own, or else I would have been buying that stuff day and night. But I think it's sad it's going away. But again, it's sort of like, who am I to speak when I've never bought it and I didn't know it existed as a product on its own. So I think it's sad it's going away, but I also, it just feels like it's, you know, now it's 2024. It feels like, you know, for a company to be like, there's nothing we can do. This company that used to cut the pasta feels, what's really happening? You know what I mean?
Our hands are tied. It's impossible. The technology doesn't exist anymore.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. And so this article also says pastina is the smallest shape that Ranzoni sells, according to their website. The petite five-pointed stars are typically cooked in soups with cheese and eggs.
Yeah, you know when you get soup and it has little stars in it and you go, okay, I guess this rocks. That's what I'm envisioning.
Yeah, yeah.
Now, are they going to continue making star pasta that's bigger size stars?
It sounds to me like they are. It sounds to me it's just a small star, the technology. I know it's crazy. We can like 3D print a house, but they can't figure out how to do this. Yeah.
I'm going to be honest and say I don't even know that I need the star in this photo that I'm looking at. The stars are so small that I'm like, they just, you can't even see. I want the stars to be a little bigger anyway. So I'm not feeling too strongly about this. Jonah, how do you feel?
Okay. Yeah. I don't know. It's fine. I feel like in the scope of things that I'm concerned about that I want to put my energy into petitioning about, that this one's so far down on the list that it's hard for me to even register, but I don't know. Sure.
Okay, so between Dunkachino, raspberry rally cookies, and Pastina pasta, which one do you wish was going back into production, Mike?
Oh, I believe the Girl Scout cookies, the raspberry.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And I mean, I'm sure I would like the pasta, but more than wanting the pasta back, I just don't want to be lied to.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Fair. Vanessa, what about you?
I think, weirdly, I'm going to go for the Dunkachino just because I feel like it's such a classic drink. And my other thing is, like, I know you don't think it's that much of a hack, Jonah, of just getting a hot chocolate and putting a shot of espresso in it, but I can't imagine it's that hard to have the ingredients on hand to make a Dunkachino if they already have stuff for hot chocolates and for coffees. But I'm not, I don't own a franchise of, I don't own one of the stores. I don't know what goes into it. But I will just say from a nostalgic point of view and knowing the name of it, Dunkachino. What about you, Jonah?
I'm going to just, just to maybe play devil's advocate here, I'm going to go with the Pastina.
Mm-hmm.
Like I said, looks, if this is really the only one like this, I don't know, maybe it's nice to have for these egg and cheese soups people are eating all the time. And I would also say that I think all three of these products will be back in 2025.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
That's my prediction. So let's check in next January. Let's see where we're at.
Yeah.
Put it on our cows.
Put it on our cows. So is that a phrase?
Yeah. Put it on the cow.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah.
So.
Mike, what got anything to promote? Where can people find out about you? I know you got so many bands, you got so much going on. Where can people find out more?
Oh, Instagram is a fine space.
Okay.
RS Mike Wiebe on Instagram. Yeah, and there's a new Riverboat Gamblers just reissued our record Something to Crow About, and then there'll be a new Dracula's record coming out sometime in this new year. I'm not sure when, though.
Amazing. And speaking of the Ramones and Saturday morning cartoons, your cover covered my favorite Ramone song with the Gamblers, Bonzo Goes to Bitburg.
Oh, yeah. That was so fun.
Oh, my gosh. Incredible cover. But yeah, check out all Mike's bands. They're all incredible. I know Vanessa's going to make fun of me for complimenting Mike so much, but he deserves it, so I'm just going to do it anyway.
He does. But I was going to say, Jonah's geeking out again, so it's time for our outro. That was really fun. Thanks so much to Mike for joining us and everyone for listening. If you enjoyed this, please subscribe to the podcast and keep an eye out for next week's episode of How Did We Get Weird, where we'll discuss more stories from our childhood and cultural touchstones like Saturday morning cartoons. Thank you, Mike.
Thanks, Mike.
Thank you.
Managing your diabetes just got easier. The powerful new Dexcom G7 lets you see your glucose numbers on your compatible watch and phone without finger sticks. And because Dexcom G7 is the most accurate CGM system, you can be confident in your food, exercise, and medication decisions. And all those decisions can lead to big results, like more time in range and lower A1C. Get started at Dexcom.com.
Dexcom data on file 2023. If your glucose alerts and readings from the G7 do not match symptoms or expectations, use a blood glucose meter to make diabetes treatment decisions. For a list of compatible devices, visit Dexcom.com/compatibility.
You deserve a moment to yourself every single day. And a delicious bite of a Keebler Sandies can give you that comforting pause.
Celebrate the end of your workday with the melt-in-your-mouth magic of a Keebler Sandies. This magic is baked into simple shortbread cookies by Ernie and the Keebler Elves. So as another busy month flies by, make the most of your me moment. Take a pause and enjoy a Keebler Sandies.
What do the most successful growing businesses have in common? They're working together in Slack. Slack is where work happens, with all your people, data, and information in one AI-powered place. Grow your business in Slack. Visit slack.com to get started.